The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out of the bad seat, a broken day, a bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad out of a bad day, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Appalachia right across the river and through the woods from where Granny stole my stash of hybrid poison cherry when she was drinking JMO shots in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, direct in traffic, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do. All my finna come around, flat to flat to party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What a mess, this town's a tatter. My brain's splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shack hat. Ooh. Hey, what's gigging? It's Farrell with Carver High tonight. And right now, you got a upset brewing. Again, the Braves have opened up a can on the Dodgers now. It's 5-1 in the sixth inning. They got to Kershaw in this inning. It all started when Acuna beat out a grounder over Kershaw's head, got to second. Freeman brought him home. Then Ozuna brought home Freeman. And it is just chaos right now on the base pass. A shot down the line. Turner couldn't get it to the left field corner. And, I mean, it's unbelievable. So Freeman doubled to right. Acuna scored. Ozuna doubled to deep center. Freeman scored. Swanson doubles to left field. Albie scored. Ozuna scored. It's 5-1. Braves over the Dodgers. Remember, the Dodgers won last night 15-3. Everyone, including myself, thought they were back in it. And now it's 5-1 in the bottom of the sixth inning with one out, and they still have a runner at second. And if they win this game, they'll lead the Dodgers 3-1 in the series with one win needed to get to the World Series. The Astros win on a Correa walk-off home run tonight. They're alive.
Hey, everyone. It's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. we can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Pharrell on the bench with you. 6-1 now, Braves, as Swanson singled to center, or I think it was he scored on Riley's single to center. So Riley singled, the RBI, Swanson scores. Swanson had doubled to get to second, and it's now 6-1 Braves. I just want to give you an idea of what happened to Clayton Kershaw per usual. 5 innings, 7 hits, 4 earned runs. 1 walk, 4 strikeouts, and a home run. Ozuna hit the home run to left, a bomb off the signage in the second deck. And then it was unbelievable. This kid, Wilson, I think he's a rookie. He ends up, Bryce Wilson coming in, and he pitches an incredible game. Bottom line. 5 innings, 6 innings. He went 6 innings, 1 earned run, 1 hit, a home run to Rios. 5 strikeouts. That was it. And he threw, literally, he was throwing 80% strikes on his first pitch. The whole game it was strike one to every batter. He just kept throwing strikes, and they didn't know what to do. They were behind. Literally every batter was behind in the count from the jump. I mean, he just was throwing first pitch strikes all night. Literally at one point it was 16-20, then it was like 17-21. The guy was throwing BBs and they were all over the plate. Now the Gratterall was the guy that came in for Kershaw and just started giving up runs. Bottom line. So they have scored 5 runs in this inning, in the sixth. They still have a runner on first in Riley and only 1 out. And I mean, the Dodgers are in big trouble, mister. Can you even believe it, Carver Hyde? The story of this guy. Now, he'll take the loss, I'm assuming, and he'll, you know, he's 11-12 lifetime in playoff games. And in this, like, I think it's in the championship series now, he'll be 3-6.
He turns into a pumpkin every October. I'm sorry. He just does. And you know, the other night with the back, he didn't pitch in game 2, comes out tonight, he gives you 5 innings of 1 run, but then you just can't, this just can't happen, what just happened in the 6th inning. It can't happen. And once again, Kershaw just doesn't show up when it matters. And you talked the other day, the 8 straight division titles, they haven't won anything. And, you know, that part of the reason why they haven't is, and it's hard to place it all on one guy. You know, he has not gotten it done. 11-12 in the postseason. I understand he's going to go to the Hall of Fame. He can go to the Hall of Fame with that big case of, you know, all those Cy Young awards that he's gotten there. But you know where he's not going to have when he goes in there? Probably not going to have a World Series title because he just never gets it done in the playoffs.
I mean, it's unbelievable. I put on Sided the other day. What was worse, the Dodgers 8 straight division titles with no rings or the Braves 14 straight division titles with 1 World Series championship? And I want to get your opinion of that. What's worse? Because, you know, obviously the Braves won the World Series. Yeah. It's that simple. And the Dodgers haven't done it in that 8 division titles. The Braves won 14 straight and they got one. That's it. They got it done. So it has to be the Dodgers is worse.
Yeah, right now it is, of course, because the Braves did win one. You know, in 95, they did get one. They went to a bunch of other World Series and lost them all. But the Dodgers have not gotten it done in the 8 straight. It's maddening. It really is, because the team has been so good the last few years. And it's not like they're losing in the World Series every year either, like the Braves did. I mean, they're barely getting there. I know they made it a couple years ago. They went 2 years in a row. They lose to Houston and lost to Boston, right, in back-to-back years. But they just never get it done in these big spots. It's just ridiculous to see.
You know what? I can't wait to. They got runners on first and second now with one out. They walked the batter. So I can't. Pache's up now. He's over two in the game. Gonzalez is pitching now for the Dodgers. If it happens, because they're on their way to losing this game tonight, it would appear to me 6-1, right? Unless something crazy happens, I don't really see them coming back in this game. But maybe they will. Who knows? They came back in the game the other night and lost 8-7. They were down 7-0, so I guess anything's possible. But here's the deal: they go down 3-1. Are you gonna bet that they're out of it? That they're done? That they're gonna lose? Or will they win three straight?
Yeah, I find it really hard to believe that they'd win three games in a row. I just would. I just I wouldn't have a lot of faith in that. What are they? I'm probably going to go with Buehler again tomorrow, I would guess, right? Oh, no, not really, because tomorrow's game four, right? Oh, no, yeah. Will they go Buehler
tomorrow?
Yeah,
game four.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't. They're not going to win three games in a row. I got no faith in that, Scotty. I don't think they can do it.
So when they lose this year, what do you think we're going to hear from the Dodgers and Dave Roberts and, you know, Clayton Kershaw? Nobody wants to hear from him anymore. No one wants to hear his reasoning for why. It's an annual tradition now that he fails in the playoffs. I don't even want to listen to him. I have nothing that, you know, I could absorb from him at this point and accept it. I just don't even want to listen to the guy. What's he going to say?
Yeah, I don't want to hear his cliches after the game tonight. The one game at a time, and, you know, we'll come back and get him next year. We're close to winning it all. Enough. Every year you come up short.
I love these guys.
You come up short.
I
love these guys. These guys play hard. You never win, all right? You never win in a big spot.
There's no one I'd rather
get it done.
There's no one okay? I'd rather go to the battle with.
And I thought it would change this year because I thought that adding Betts, that was going to be the piece, like adding Betts to that mix. But Betts doesn't pitch. And you saw their bullpen kind of collapse here in the playoffs. It hasn't been very good. And even the starting pitching, you know, Buehler's good, but he goes four innings. He throws 100 pitches in four innings and he's out of the game. Kershaw, again, he's not the Kershaw that he used to be. You know, they just don't have the starting pitching. It's that simple.
Buehler acts like he'd rather walk guys than give up hits, so he just doesn't even care if he walks guys. Here's more runs coming in, single to center. It's going to be 7-1 now. Riley scores. I mean, this is really unbelievable. There's still one out. Pache drove him in. It's now 7-1. This game's over, and they still have one out, and they keep showing Kershaw. They just blame him for everything. They blame him for everything. It really is unbelievable when you think about it. Like, but do you find any comfort in this? Like, as a Yankee fan, like watching the Yankees fail every October now, it seems like they're just doing the exact same thing that the Dodgers are doing, because the Yankees won back-to-back 100-win seasons and got nothing out of it. And then they could have been part of the Astros cheating, you know, when Chapman threw it to Altuve.
You know, the last couple of years, the Yankees have not been the absolute hands-down most dominant team in the American League and then losing the playoffs. You know, they have had other really good teams in the league with them. Just Houston, obviously. You know, 2 years ago, the Red Sox. You know, the Rays have been good now this year. You know, the Dodgers have been the hands-down best team in the National League for like four or five straight years now. Like, no questions asked, best team in the National League. And they lose every year. The Yankees have other teams that are winning 100 games in the American League. Houston's won World Series. The Red Sox won 2 years. You know, there's other teams that are really good. The Dodgers are head and shoulders better in the regular season than all these other teams in the National League every year.
Don't you think that, like, there's some kind of – if you look at Kershaw, they just keep showing him. It's like showing Mike Krzyzewski's wife for 3 hours.
Look, I get on him a lot, but it's not all his fault. I mean, I get on him because he's the guy that you expect to come up in the enormous moments, and he doesn't. But there's obviously more blame to go around than just to him.
I can't even believe I fell for his BS and bet on him today. Like, that I actually believed he could win a playoff game.
I did too.
You know what I mean? Like – And he does it to betters, too. Like, we get sucked into his name. But what we should do is every single time he pitches, bet against him. Because he never wins. It's unbelievable. I got to tell you that he's not going to get another chance. I actually, I think it's awesome watching him lose.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Yeah, before I forget, talk about this in the midst of all this baseball conversation going on, can I just mention this story about the Bengals kicking the field goal late in the game to not get shut out by the Ravens, right? Wasn't it like, I mean, I don't even, touchdown Georgia State. This game is crazy, Carver High. It's been tied like 6-7 times. Like, honestly, from the beginning of the game, 7-all, 14-all, 21-all, 28-all, 35-all.
So it's going to be 42 up all. Now? It's going to be 42 all now?
Yeah, it's crazy. But anyway, so the Bengals lost last week to the Ravens, right? And the game, obviously, was pretty much a blowout. But what happened was the Ravens won it 27-3. They had their problems. The Bengals defense stopped them a few times. They, didn't score as much as they normally would, 37, 40 points. They're tough. They obviously have a winning record. They've been rocking and rolling, the Ravens, and they're expected to kick ass and take names, right? But what happened is that the Bengals kicked a field goal late to avoid the shutout. And then so this guy, what's his name? The coach, Martindale or something. And he's like one of the assistants for Harbaugh. He got all worked up about it and started screaming at the Bengals coaching staff. And then it's turned into an international conspiracy. Like now, what is it? 4 days later?
4 days later, and your boy Don Martindale still is, heated about the fact that the Bengals kicked a field goal to bust up a shutout. Like, dude, like, who cares, man? Honestly, bro. Like, are you serious? Don't let him get in field goal range, I guess, right? I mean, honestly, who cares?
But can you even fathom that, seriously, like, I just don't understand. Why is the guy so worked up about it? what is that? So he's miffed by the Cincinnati field goal. I have to listen to his or see his stats. Or in terms of like, was there any quotes from this guy? Here it is. As for the reaction, the Bengals get a field goal. Martindale said he knew it was because it was awful quiet when I yelled across the field. There are some people that take that as a victory. We'll see. We'll have plenty to talk about the next time we play them. I don't even understand what that means. Your boy Wink Martindale getting all worked up over a 38-yard field goal with 37 seconds left in a game. The fifth time since the 70 merger that a team kicked a field goal in the final minute to avoid a shutout. Do you have a problem with him kicking the field goal with Carver High under a minute to go? It never happens. Do you have a problem with it?
Not particularly. You got a young team. It's 27-0. Should he probably just be trying to get a touchdown? Maybe. I don't know. Does it matter that you won 27-3 or 27-0? Does it matter? Who cares if they kick the field goal? You guys won the game. You're 4-1. Worry about who you're playing this week. Worry about the Eagles and Carson Wentz on Sunday. Why are you still talking about the dopey Bengals kicking a field goal? Does he have a clause in his contract? Like, if the Ravens get X amount of shutouts this year, does Wink Martindale get a couple more shekels in the pocket at the end of the year, Scotty? Is this a check-related thing for him? What is he worried about? Who cares? Well,
anyway, there's only been two other instances in the last 50 years when a team kicked a field goal in the final minute to avoid a shutout while trailing by more than 20. And in 1970, Bengals coach Paul Brown chose to kick a field goal in the final minute of a 38-3 loss to the Lions. And in 2006, Buccaneers coach John Gruden decided to kick a field goal with no time left in a 23 loss to the Steelers. John Harbaugh said the defense would have loved the shutout, but that it wouldn't have been a factor if Baltimore had stopped Cincinnati on either one of the 4th-and-1 situations on the final drive. I guess you have to look at it that way. We'll just leave it at that. But your boy Wink isn't leaving it at that. And the funny thing is, I think it's more hilarious for me to listen to Martindale cry about a field goal to spoil his team's shutout, and that they're still talking about it 4 days later, that it's like some kind of huge thing, and that we'll see him in week 17. Well, first of all, Wink, here's a newsflash for you, Wink. The Bengals suck. They're going nowhere. That game will be completely meaningless. What are you going to rub their noses in it, Wink? Yeah. I mean, honestly.
You already have a playoff spot wrapped up. Right. You're going to go throw all your guys out there to rough up the Bengals in week 17.
How much of a male organ is he? Like, he's the male organ of the month club. Like, your boy really Wink is. Martindale.
Like I said, I don't know what – I want to know what his motivation is. Like, is this check-related? What if the defense gets a shutout? Do the kids get to go to the pizza parlor after? Like, what is the problem here, dude?
Participation trophies for everybody.
What is happening here, man? Like, calm down, dude.
Can you believe it?
Coach said we'd go for ice cream if we got a shutout today. What is the problem here?
I'm going in Johnny's car.
Oh no, we gave up that field goal. No ice cream now from Coach. We didn't get a shutout.
No, maybe they had the free pizza slice for the shutout. If you get
little Elio's cut up in the
little Elio's. Shutout slice. If you get a shutout, you get a slice.
We were going to take you to Tony's for the real thing, but you guys didn't get a shutout tonight. We're getting the Elio's out of the freezer. Let's go. No real pizza for you tonight.
No soup for you.
Honestly, dude. Martindale.
Listen, I got to tell you, it's funny. People think that, the Brown-Steelers game this week, I think it's the game of the week, right? But the team that I'll be honest, I'm worried about the Browns this Sunday. I think they can beat the Steelers. I don't want them to, but I think they can beat them. But the team that I worry about, I've never worried about the Browns, because the Steelers have been spitting in the Browns' face for 55 years of my life. Literally my whole life. They've kicked their ass. Look at the numbers. Since 1965, if you look at the numbers between the Browns and Steelers, you'll puke. Okay, so I don't worry about the Browns. I'm worried about them this week, but the team that I want to beat is the Ravens, right? Like, they're the team to beat with the Steelers in that division. Any way you slice it, they're the team to beat, right? So that's the team I want to beat. So anything at all that I see where, like, Wink Martindale is getting all worked up over the Bengals, I hope it drives him nuts. And I loved watching them get their ass beat by the Chiefs, even though I bet on them that night. I don't bet with my heart, but I got smoked on that game. But the deal is, that's the team I'm worried about. Meanwhile, he's worried about the Bengals kicking a field goal. He should be worried about the Steelers being in first place and being undefeated. Right? Am I wrong, Carver?
There's a lot more things that he should be worried about than the Bengals kicking that field goal. They're 1,000%. I can't believe he's still talking about it. I just can't believe it. We're going to get them. We'll get them in week 17. God, I'm sure that Joe Burrow and what's their coach? Zach Taylor. They're really looking forward. They can't wait. They're, you know, they're scared of Wink in week 17. Oh, no. Look out.
You know, a couple things. A, they're showing Arch Manning play a high school football game tonight in Louisiana.
I saw that. A lot of hype.
And he's thrown at least two or three touchdown passes. But here we go again with the, oh, God. Yeah, they're going to start showing Arch Manning games every week now.
Never go away, man. The Mannings, just when you think they're done, Eli retires, Peyton retires. You know, you don't see what's the other brother that was doing those comedy bits in the pregame, Cooper. You don't see him anymore. You thought you were done with the Mannings. You thought you thought you were finished with him.
What about when Arch goes and, like, knocks some chick up at college? But he's going to have a son for sure. Maybe twins. How about twin boys? And then you'll have the second coming of all of them. That's what's going to happen. Arch is going to have twins. When he's in college, he's going to have a hot girlfriend. And then on a, you know, snowy night and little, you know, candlelit dinner, the whole deal, red wine, little, there's going to be some relations. And then he's going to have twins. And then little, what are their names going to be? Peyton, we got to have, how about Pouncer and Eddie? Pouncer and Eddie Manning. They're going to come out next. And then in 16 years, you'll be watching them throwing touchdowns. And how about they go to arch rival high schools in the area? Like, one of them says, I don't love my brother. I'm going to go beat him. I'm going to play on the crosstown team with all the hoodlums. And then they come over and beat the, you know, little Eddie beats, named after Eddie Van Halen. He beats Pouncer in the state championship game. Meanwhile, Arch at that time will be a seventh-year NFL star making $450 million in his contract, his second contract in the NFL after his rookie deal expires. He'll be making $450 million and close to $70 million a year to be the quarterback of the Broncos. Can you see it, Carver High?
I can see it. This is another Manning coming through the pipeline. The glory, it will all happen.
What about the twins?
Who?
The twins. You don't think Arch will have twins with his girlfriend and have three more of them in the league?
That it'll just be a never-ending legacy of Manning kids in the NFL. That's what it'll be.
Does Eli have kids? Does he have a son?
No, I think he has all girls.
What about Peyton? Maybe Archie needs to get busy. He's old, but he's got to get busy. All right, so the Dodgers have runners on first and second. Guy hits the ball all the way. Pollock hits it all the way to the warning track, almost a three-run homer, but almost doesn't count. Now runners at the corners, one out, 7-1 Braves in the top of the seventh. So there you go. I want to get your reaction to the Correa walk-off home run to dead center field. I mean, he just absolutely jacked that ball out, and that was it, because Choi had hit a home run deep to right to tie it in like the seventh inning, something like that. Maybe it was in the eighth. He hit it in the eighth, and then they lost it on a walk-off in the bottom of the ninth, right?
Yeah, that was an absolute rocket, that ball that Correa hit off Anderson in the ninth. I mean, that ball still hasn't landed. He hit that so clean. And I told you today on the TV show, I thought that the Astros would get one more. Nice job by them. Springer got him going too early in the game with a bomb. So
first pitch.
I think it'll run out tomorrow. You'd expect Snell to maybe pitch a pretty decent game for them. But hey, you know what? The Astros can hit. Oh man, you were right. He just missed that ball. I mean, it went right to the wall.
Do you think it's definitely Snell tomorrow?
Snell's pitching for the Rays tomorrow, yeah.
So that's a done deal. It's definitely Snell. Yeah, you're right. Valdez against Snell. So you're on the Rays tomorrow, even after you took the Astros 2 days in a row, you're going to jump off that wagon?
I think that I might – I'm going to look at it in the morning. I might play the Rays – I might play the Astros again. Let me see what the price is. But I think the Rays will probably finish it tomorrow. That's my initial thing.
Did you think Snell was that good in the first time around?
I didn't think he was great, no. I didn't think he was great. I just think that they're going to have better options here coming into this next game than the Astros are. The Astros got a lot of, you know, they had like five rookies pitch today, or four or five rookies pitch, right. And they all pitched very well. But I just don't know if they're going to be able to do that again tomorrow. But so on the other side, you know, Cash was right today. You know, you listen to Cash, other than a Rosarena, who's hitting the ball right now for the Rays?
No one.
And when they won that third game the other night, they got that big inning because Altuve can't throw the ball anymore, or else who knows if they even score in that inning. So
right.
they've gone pretty cold offensively too, aside from Rosarena.
Choi hit the home run to tie it, but they really Brendan Lau hit a home run. He was 1 for 36 before that home run. He was in the worst slump I've ever seen. Gurriel's in the same type of slump on the other side of the Astros. But even after you saw them win two in a row, you don't think they can even it up tomorrow? And when it was 3-0, I thought it was going to be a sweep. And now all of a sudden we're looking at game six. And then if I'm already going to see game six, I'm starting to think game seven's inevitable.
Look, I would like to see the Astros win. I would love to see a game seven. I can't stand either team. It's like I told you last week, this is like a Yankee fan's worst nightmare. You got these cheating Astros and the Rays who just beat you, you know, the nerds, the charts and graphs, right. And the Rays. It's an unwinnable position if you're a Yankee fan. But looking at it, I'll take a game seven. Astros have the bats, so they have a lot of pop. And Springer and Correa are both hitting the ball right now. You know, Bregman's been quiet. Look for maybe Bregman tomorrow, Scotty. Maybe it's finally his day to get going.
Yeah, I don't know. All I know is if they go seven, let's say hypothetically the Astros win tomorrow, and it goes seven, and they've won three straight to even the series, who do you bet on in game seven?
If it went to seven, I would bet on the Astros.
Right. You got to.
1,000%. And Valdez is going to start for the Astros tomorrow.
Right. I said that.
Game
so,
one. Yeah.
Right. So anyway, you would take them in game seven because of their experience and because of the fact that they won three straight to even the series after the Rays should have finished them off and they didn't. And now they're going to pay the price for it.
Yes. I would go with if the Astros win tomorrow, I will bet them. Absolutely, Saturday in game seven.
So then the logic says, as a bettor, that you need to go bet on the Astros tomorrow.
Well, what I would do is I would probably try to do something like, you know, they've got the Astros winning seven, things like that. I'd try to squeeze a little more juice out of it. If I was going to pick the Astros to win the series at this point, I don't even think I'd bet them game by game. I would now just go bet them the series, Astros to win in seven, if I thought they could win the next two games, because you'll get a little bit better price on it.
So you'd avoid the money line in both games and just pick them to win the series.
If I thought the Astros were going to win them both, because right now you get the Astros at +390 to win the series.
Right now it's +390.
Yeah, +390 to win the series.
Are you willing to make that bet? Because I think they have every chance in the world to do it.
Yeah, I mean, when I look at everything in the morning, I think that if I like what I see tomorrow and I think there's an advantage, if I'm going to bet the Astros to win tomorrow, I'm going to bet them to win the series. That's it. I won't play that line tomorrow.
Do you think that they're, like, mentally, do you feel as though the Rays, in the back of their minds, or at least, I think at least a couple of them have talked to each other and said, we're choking. We're choking right now. We should have won this series already, and we're choking.
And this is also, remember this too, and this, some people say this doesn't matter. I believe it does. This is a Ray team that has not been in this spot before. Let's remember this. They are not like, you know, they've been in the playoffs a couple years. You know, they lost in five to the Astros last year. They came back. They were down 2-0 in that series, won the next two, and then lost a game five to the Astros. The Astros, now only one team has come back from 3-0. We know who that is. But the Astros have been in the World Series.
You know who that is, all right.
the Astros have been in the World Series a bunch the last couple of years. You know, they've been down 2-0 in series or down 3-1 in series. They, you know, there's a lot of experience, playoff experience on that team. And when you get into a situation like tomorrow night now where the ball starts to roll a little bit, sometimes you do lean towards the team that's got the more experience because the Rays have not been in the spot. They were up 3-0. They're probably like, all right, we're, you know, listen, let's get ready. We're going to the World Series here. And now it's 3-2. And they don't have guys in that clubhouse that have been in this situation before. So it's going to be new to them.
They have to be thinking. They have to be thinking. But if it were you, if you were on the team right now and you were sitting here and I was your best friend and I was on the phone with you and you were on the Rays and I'm your best friend. You lived your whole life next door to me and I was your buddy. And I was like, listen, I go, what's happening here? And it, would you admit to me on the phone right now? Just let's have a conversation right now. Listen, let's say Carver's the cleanup hitter on the Rays. Yo, Carver, hi. It's your boy, Buff. Hey, listen, what's going on, bro? Are you guys going to choke this away? I mean, are you tripping? Because you were up 3. You were telling me you had it in the bag. What is going on now? What is happening?
It's all right. You know, we're just going to get him tomorrow. We're going to take it one game at a time. Don't worry. We're going to take it one game at a time.
Although we
got guys. You're not worried. No, not worried.
You're lying.
We're professional.
You're lying. Just tell the truth. It's your boy, Buff.
That's a tough team on the other side there. Very tough team.
It's your boy, Buff Boozer.
I'm
here. Don't lie to me. Tell me the truth. Do you guys think you're going to choke?
Yes. We're grabbing the bat just a little too tight right now. A little too tight. We're grabbing the bat.
Yo. I heard a rumor that you guys are going to trade for Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah, well, that'll guarantee the Astros comeback if they did that.
Hey, can you give me VIP behind the rope passes to that strip club that Tommy Pham goes to?
Cease and desist. Shut the place down.
Do you know any other places we could go party? Hey, so...
No.
Do you think your manager dresses inappropriately? You should like wear a, you know, like a uniform or something and look better in the dugout or.
Yeah, he just does like the pullover, right? Like he's basically
the Belichick thing going.
Always casual Friday for Kevin Cash, right? Like it is always casual Friday. He's got, you never see the uniform top. There's a lot of guys like that now. Like I feel like Mattingly does that too. Like there's a lot of managers who,
So Rios gets the RBI.
Oh, let's
sack
go.
Fly.
What do we got here? Oh, sack
he
fly.
He gets a
you need
sack
more than
fly.
That. You can't have sack flies. Bases loaded, one out. You need more than a sack fly. You need to keep the train rolling. You got to hit a ball in the gap. You got to get some runs in here. And I said this to you in the break. Dodgers are going to tease everybody here. If you bet the Dodgers tonight, you watch. They're going to tease you. It'll probably be like 7-5 in the ninth, and the Dodgers will have a couple guys on, and you're going to think you're back in the mix because that's what this team does. They tease you.
Well, if they hit a 3-run homer right now, it'll be 7-5.
Yeah.
Down 7-2 right now. But Rios is the guy that would have given you that pop because he already hit a home run tonight.
What do they got coming up now? Who's up after Rios?
Warren Beatty.
Yeah, he stinks. He made too many bad movies with Madonna, so he's not in the mix.
Do you think he slept with her?
Yes.
That's awesome. Honestly. Where did they get this guy? Matt Beatty. Who is that? Like, what is happening here all of a sudden? This has got to be... So he's like a pinch hitter, right? That they're bringing in right now? Because he wasn't in the lineup. Was he the eight hitter the whole game?
I'm not sure. I've been doing this. I haven't been as focused here on this game.
Is that right?
Yes. Once it got to 7-1, I really, really got upset.
I just want to look at the... I just got to go back to the game here. I just want to look to see, in terms of the box score, if he was in the lineup. Oh, no, he's a pinch hitter now, just like I said.
Who's he hitting for?
I think he's hitting for Kiki. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that. I like Kiki. Kiki gets big hits. One of the few guys on the team that does.
I'm guessing he's in there for Kiki.
I'll tell you now.
And then Barnes would be up next. Right? So that's got to be for Kiki. Whatever.
Yeah, he said he's in for Kiki. Yeah, he's one.
It's one and two that count with two outs and runners on the corners. So do you find it, seriously, do you find it enjoyable watching them go down the drain, the Dodgers, or could you care less?
I don't really care about the Dodgers. The Dodgers don't bother me. It is what it is.
But you don't,
I don't find it
a story that it's unbelievable every year that they do this?
And from that aspect of it, yeah, it is. It's hilarious that every year they do this and they come up short. They're the greatest thing ever all season long. Dodgers are a preseason favorite to win the World Series. Dodgers are this. Dodgers steamroll everybody. And then they always fall apart in the playoffs. They just always do. Losing to the Nationals last year. Before those two World Series trips, they had a bunch of, you know, awful losses before getting to the World, you know, not making the World Series. So
their DH Rios has, he drove in both runs tonight. Nobody else has done jack. Betts over three, Seager over three, Turner one.
Wasted them all last night. They wasted all those runs. Should have saved a couple.
Muncy walked twice. Peterson 0-2. Pollock was a pinch hitter, 0-4. Bellinger's 0-4. Kiki was 0-4. And now this guy's still up. And then Barnes was 0-4. I mean, it's unbelievable to me that they went from 15 runs to two hits. Two hits the whole night. It really is unbelievable. All right, Pharrell on the bench. So go back in time. When Joe Buck was doing it originally, it was with Tim McCarver, right? And then now he's doing it with John Smoltz. Now, I don't know how many guys he's had in that booth with him over the years. I haven't kept track. But I was just saying to you that I thought McCarver and Buck were way better than Buck and Smoltz. That's my opinion. And I'm friends with Smoltz. I like John a lot. He's a great guy. I do. But I just don't I don't find him entertaining, like, to be honest with you. And then, I got to be at least somewhat entertained. It just can't be all baseball talk, like, where it's just boring and just drab. Like, when I called a game in the NHL, I was never boring, ever. We lost every night. So we lost, 57 games. And I was just sitting there going all the time, I think it was something like that, wasn't it? Didn't we lose, like, Carver? You remember that Thrasher team?
You guys lost, like, 60 games that year. I mean,
something like that. But whatever. So, anyway, I was, like, I was never boring. We'd lose every night. I'd crack jokes the whole game, make fun of stuff, do fake fights, the whole deal. But they just do it straight. I get it. It's on, you know, network television, all the rest. It's on Fox, if you want to call it that. Is Fox network television? I used to remember it was CBS, NBC, ABC. Now Fox is considered a big shot too, right? So,
yes.
But when he did it with McCarver, I thought it was better. And then I also said to you in the break, I thought Bob Costas was better than all of them. I think Bob Costas doing a baseball game is as good as it gets.
Yeah, I'm with you on Costas. I used to love when NBC had the baseball back in the late 90s when the Yankees were on those runs, and Costas did a lot of those games. I thought it was great. One of my favorite from my generation, play-by-play guy with baseball. I thought it was outstanding. But and Smoltz is just too dry. Like, it's just too boring. It's just too – it gives you nothing. That's the problem with him.
So they just lined out in the shift with the bases loaded, and the Dodgers are down – 7-2, and they had the bases full, could have gotten runs, but didn't.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.